Holy words, long preserved for our war in this world. They resound with God's own heart, holy nation words impart. Words of hope, words of hope for our war. Keep this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We'll bow with open hearts, holy ancient words. Ancient words, ever, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, when they come to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our war in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, who let the ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Let's sing one more song, saints, if you don't mind. But just before we get there, don't you love the ancient words?
Amen.
Amen. There's something about the good old ancient words. And I'm so glad that there's people that are still contending for the faith.
Amen.
That was once delivered to the saints. And friends, in this age, when we have the message of the hour,
amen,
which is a restored word, sometimes there comes a time we have to contend for the message of the hour.
Amen.
You know, God has his people, God has his gifts, God has shaped people in certain ways. And we're so glad to greet Brother George
Hallelujah.
Martin once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. So good to be with him. And he's come to contend for the faith once again tonight. And so may the Lord grant him liberty, grant him grace tonight. We do really appreciate him being with us, and everybody is here tonight. And we're just praying, let the Lord have his way. To the new people, what's being said tonight, it may be a little bit beyond, in some ways, maybe what you would understand. But I do believe that it'll equip you for the battles to come. You know, so if anything's said that you don't quite understand, it's a good thing to fellowship with the other saints when you get together in the coolness of things in one another's homes. I think it'll be a blessing. And I'm really looking forward to the word this time. Let's sing one more song if you have one, Brother George. Then we give Brother George Martin his liberty in Jesus' name.
Never failing to forgive, it's always a gift from you to me. Oh, Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name. How should I, God of praise, Lord most high, most high, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We rely on your grace.
Adonai.
Adonai.
Crowned in praise.
Lord Most High. Jesus Christ.
God bless you this evening. Amen. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. You see, you find your three categories of people. You find your Pharisees. When you tell them God is here now, God is doing things now, they say, no, far I see it coming. And then when the Spirit of God comes down and it brings joy, others are sad, you see. You're sad, you see. But I'm glad to be fellowshipping tonight with glad you see. God bless our pastor, Brother Andrew. My brother, it takes a great man to step aside and let another take your place. I trust that God will not disappoint us. Keep praying for Brother Andrew. Remember, he is as strong as his wife is also strong. So don't forget to pray for Sister Gitana as well. And pray for all the helps in the governments that help this church to go. And congratulations, my brother. Amen. I've heard the good news. Now, our subject tonight might be a little lengthier than normal. I usually take 1 hour, 10 minutes. Perhaps I'll take 1 hour, 30. Is that all right? Tonight, we are going to teach. We are going to embark on a subject that will be most needful, as our pastor just said a while ago, if it does not apply now. Try and store the information somewhere. You will need it very soon. Let us turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. My title is going to be Commemorating the Cloud of 1963. Commemorating the Cloud of 1963. You very well know that this year is exactly 50 years since the cloud came. It's a jubilee. And during this time of a jubilee, many are thrown about. Many unsure where to place the events of this cloud. It's nothing but Satan trying to attack the very thing that has come to give us rapturing faith. The very thing that has come to call our names, the opening of the Lamb's Book of Life. Shall we read Exodus 19? I'm going to select verse 3, verse 9, verse 11, verse 16, and 20. I beg you to listen very carefully to these verses, because these are the verses that have been repeated in 1963 and many more others. We read Exodus 19:3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, grace, and tell the children of Israel, the bride today. Verse 9, this is all happening at the mountain. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. That's 1963 also. That the people may hear when I speak with you. So the cloud actually isn't a business that other people should interfere with. God is very clear. I come unto you, Moses, in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you. Amen. And believe you, Moses, forever. Amen. It's more of a vindication that a prophet is sent of God. No wonder Satan is attacking it. Verse 11. And be ready against the third day. Watch now. Amen. Please watch. The cloud has come down, but days are rolling. Did I read the verse? I come to thee in a thick cloud, but watch. Be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Please watch verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day, when? In the morning. I'm going to prove to you that when the prophet was taken into the cloud, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. Amen. It's a fulfillment of these things. Amen. I'll read again verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. Amen. We read the last verse 20. You read all of it when you have time. And the Lord came down. That's our Revelation 10 now. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, in our case Mount Sunset, on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain. And Moses went up. So Moses was taken up into the cloud. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves. As we realize that the way up is down. Amen. We realize that your people, O God, in this hour of great trial and temptation, hallelujah, we need stability. Amen. And the message of the hour is our stabilizing stability. Amen. Give us clarity of words tonight. Arrest our human spirits, so that the Holy Ghost may have free sway. Amen. Once more, bless the pastor of the assembly and all those who labor with him. Amen. For it is not easy these days to keep a flock together. Amen. So we have come to lift up our pastor's hands like Aaron and Hur. Amen. We come flying in with an olive leaf between our beak to say peace, peace. Amen. May you glean all the honor and the glory at the end of this service, in the name of Jesus Christ, and all shall agree by saying, amen. Amen. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats while I remain standing. I would like to take another scripture in the Old Testament, rather in the New, in Luke 9, when Jesus is to be transfigured, if you please. When Jesus is going to go up the mountain like Moses did, for Jesus was a prophet like unto Moses. You have your second witness. When the prophet comes at the end time, he also has a ministry like Moses, together with the ministry of the Son of Man. No wonder he also goes up to a mountain. No wonder he's also taken up into a cloud. Please take particular note of how the scripture writes in Luke 9. Let's read from verse 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass. Are you ready? About 8 days after these things. Amen. Watch that time element. Hallelujah. 8 days after these things or sayings, he took Peter and John and James, witnesses like Gene Norman and Fred Sothman, and he went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his face was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. Amen. We know what happened thereafter. Amen. They saw a Moses and Elijah talking to him. Hallelujah. It is important that sometimes the Lord Jesus should take us aside and talk to us privately. Amen. And I'm quoting Matthew 24, verse 3, how that the Bible says Jesus sent away the multitude, and then alone with his disciples, they came unto him and said privately, tell us these things. Some things are not for everybody. Some things are not meant for all ears. Some things are meant for the bride and the bride only. We shall begin. I want to dramatize this like a court case. In our church back home, we took 3 Sundays. I'm going to try and give the highlights in about an hour and a half. We are going to give you enough information for you to go home and pray about it, read your Bible, listen to the tapes of the prophet, and it will come together like a jigsaw puzzle. I'd like to begin with the number 28. Because the cloud was photographed on the 28th of February. We know that Revelation 8, verse 1, speaks of silence in heaven for about a space of half an hour. I'm not going to go into dates and years and calculations, but a period of about half an hour could be 28 minutes, 29, 29 and a half, because it says about. You are going to find out that the number 28 is not coincidental, and the cloud hanging in the skies 28 minutes after local sunset is also not coincidental. If you study from Seth in the book of Genesis, all the way unto Rahab, who was married to Shem, you have 28 lineages. 28 is a time of life. And through the lineage of Rahab and Shem comes the great Messiah, the Prince of Life. When you count from David through King Asa, all the way up to Jesus Christ, born of Mary, and whose stepfather was Joseph, it is also 28 lineages. Life coming to the earth in a body of flesh, Emmanuel with us. If you study the table of loaves in the plan of the tabernacle, those 12 loaves, and you read with me Exodus 25:28, you'll be surprised to note that the bread symbolizing Christ, the bread of life, Exodus 25:28, and thou shalt make the staves, the poles that carry the bread, the table of bread. Thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold that the table may be carried with them. Further study will tell you that those staves were 28 in number, used at different times of the year to carry bread into the holy place, which bread is also a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. 28. When you come to the curtains that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies, you are now in Exodus 26. And you read verse 1 and 2. It says, moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, of blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shall I make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits. Amen. Look at me. So it's 10 curtains which veil off the holies of holies. These 10 curtains were coupled 5 to the right, 5 to the left. Grace, grace. As you come into the headstone with shoutings of grace, grace. One curtain from top to bottom, veiling the face of God. One curtain is 28 cubits. Look back to 1963. You'll understand why 28 plays such an important role. Because we see the face of God, the face of one who comes from the holies of holies in heaven. If you take the 24 elders around the throne, plus the 4 beasts around the throne, what's your total? It's life all the way. And what you look at as the cloud picture are also your 4 beasts, 7 angels, making the white, but the 4 beasts carry the throne wherever it goes. And the prophet of God says in unveiling of God, when he points to the cloud, he says the mercy seat in plain view. Now, these numbers are important because once we've laid out 28, we're in a courthouse. We are later going to join the number 8. Bring it together with quotations, and you will see there's no reason for anybody to be startled. There's no reason for pastors to resign from their posts of duty saying, I don't see the cloud that clearly no more. There's no reason for any minister to say, take down the cloud picture, I don't want it in my church or in my home. Whether you have repented thereafter, I don't know, but the damage is done. But to the true bride, she has thus said the Lord, or she keeps still. If you look at Genesis 29, 27, I won't read all the scriptures because of time. You will see a multiple of 7s, and please take note of the total. When Jacob says, I love Rachel, but you gave me Leah, he is told, fulfill her week. Right? In 1 week, it means, I'll let you marry her for a service of 7 years. That's what it means. I'll let you marry her in 7 days, but you owe me 7 years of labor. And according to Jewish custom, on the wedding day, remember there's 7 days, right? There's the first 7. On the wedding day, she revolves around the husband 7 times. That is why Jesus Christ is standing in the midst of the candlesticks, the bride, the church ages, and we revolve around him because he's standing in the middle. Amen. It's a marriage concert. Amen. It's a marriage rehearsal. Amen. There's your other 7. Then during the 7-day feast, you must give riddles. Samson, remember Samson? It's part of Jewish custom while they are feasting for 7 days. So it's fulfill her week. She revolves around him 7 times. You have to present riddles, and then there's a feasting of 7 days. The total is 28 days, or rather 28 as a number. The cloud of 1963 is invisible union. Amen. The husband coming down, yes, for an invisible union marriage with his bride. Amen. Coming down with 7 riddles, mysteries of 7 church ages. Everything has to revolve around that cloud. Hence, Satan fights it tooth and nail. Because if he can get you separated from the real meaning of it, you're out of the wedding plan. If you read Numbers 12, and I hope you're writing down these scriptures, When Israel comes to a station called Hazerot, it's Numbers 12, verse 6. That was the 14th station, 14th, since they left Egypt. If you study deeper, from Hazeroth to crossing the Jordan to come into the promised land, there lay 28 more stations. Amen. From Hazeroth, Numbers 12, 6, 14th station. From there to crossing the Jordan into the promised land, 28 more stations. And the prophet clearly tells us that this cloud is the division between the wilderness experience and crossing the Jordan into those seven seals. Amen. That's why the number 28 is mysteriously tied around the cloud. Did you know that Joshua led Israel for 28 years?
Amen.
See? All those events you read about saying, there's much more land remaining. Why don't you go get it? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. All that happened in a period of 28 years.
Amen.
So the 28th was a proper time for that cloud to come down.
Amen.
If you have a calendar of 1963 like I have, you must listen carefully. If you have a calendar of 1963 like I have, 2013, this year, had exactly the same days falling on exactly the days like 50 years ago.
Amen.
Listen carefully. The 28th of February, 1963, was the end of the month. 1963 was not a leap year. A leap year has 29 days. It was a 28-day month.
Amen.
End of the month.
Amen.
The prophet picks it up. He says, can't you see? The end of the issue, mysteries of God, has come.
Hallelujah.
Now watch this. 28th February 1963 was a Thursday. Now listen carefully. The days of the week are numbered according to Sunday, they worship the sun. Moon day is Monday. They worship the moon. TU, they worship a god of war. Woden's day, they worship the god of the dead. Thor's day, they worship the god of thunder.
Amen.
And the cloud came down on a thunder's day. And Brother Ben says he showed those thunders up there.
Amen.
Give God the glory now.
Amen.
There is no mistake.
That's right.
In what God has done.
Amen.
Later I'll prove to you there is no mistake in anything Brother Benham said concerning that cloud.
Amen.
So the cloud came on a thunder's day.
Yes,
and Christ is the mystery of God revealed, page 33. The prophet says he showed those thunders up there. Look and Life magazine packed or published that picture of it. As though God has nothing else to do to some people. God is very serious with his business. When you count the books from Genesis, the 28th book is the book of Hosea. Hosea is Oshea. Oshea is derived from Yehoshua. Yehoshua is another name for the Messiah. So 28 is not a number to fool around with. It's a number connected to the Messiah. So who do you think it is that is in that cloud?
Amen.
This next point, I'm going to have to read with you Leviticus 16:14. You are not going to pick it up immediately. It is deep, but let's read it. You mark it. I'll try and demonstrate, and then you wait on the Lord At the right time, you will see what we are doing. We are going to read about the high priest bringing blood to sprinkle before the altar. You must listen carefully. Amen. Sprinkling before the mercy seat. Amen. And we read in Leviticus 16:14. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger, watch, up on the mercy seat eastward and before the mercy seat. Shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times? Hallelujah. Many have read that verse. Many teachers have read it. But there's one thing they've missed. There are 28 sprinkles of blood from 7 motions. 7 motions, because it says sprinkle 7 times. But in 7 motions, it's 28 sprinkles. Hey. It's deep. Because it's 1, 1, and 1. 1, 1, and 2. 1, 1, 1, and 3. 1, 1, 1, 1, and 4. You do that later when you add it together. 7 motions of sprinkle, 28 droplets of blood. Where? Before the mercy seat. 28 is not a joke. Amen. And the cloud being photographed on the 28th is nothing for us to fool around with.
Amen. Amen.
If you have seen the picture of the high priest dressed in his ephod, dressed in the 8-piece garment, the 8th being the mitre, that golden ephod that I want to read from Exodus 28.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
I want to read about that ephod in Exodus what? 28.
Amen.
Watch what happens from verse 4 through to 6. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, watch, here it is, and they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and of fine, there's the word, fine twined linen with cunning work. That word, twine.
Amen.
I'm going to demonstrate how they do. Keep your pens ready. You take 6 strands of blue. How many? 6 strands of blue. You twine them with 1 gold. How many are they now? 7. You put them on the side. You take 6 strands of purple. You twine them with 1 piece of gold line. Another 7.
Amen.
You take 6 strands of scarlet. You twine them together with 1 gold. It's another 7. How much? 21. Then you take 6 strands of linen, as he said. You twine them together with gold. Then you take all and you twine them together. What's the total?
Amen.
You must listen very carefully. Amen. So as that high priest steps into the presence of the cloud, which is in the holies of holies, he is just 28, 28,
Hallelujah.
28 all
Amen.
Over.
Amen.
I think you are beginning to see
Amen.
Where we are heading to.
That's right.
Because when you listen to the tape, Perfect Faith, actually, my hair is standing on end now. Brother Benham makes a statement, I'm quoting from the old books, page 34, toward the end. You'll hear the prophet saying, I am standing right now before the white throne as an intercessor.
Hallelujah.
I am climbing for you. I am believing for you. And if your faith is not strong enough, God can use my faith. What do you think? What language is that? Christ in Brother Branham as the high priest.
Yes.
Standing before the mercy seat.
Yes.
The cloud.
Amen.
That's why the number 28 is irrevocably, you cannot separate it. It's irrevocably intertwined in the coming of the cloud. Right. We take another one. 28, as you very well know, the prophet had already told you, it's life. Is that right? Jewish numbers are very interesting. Those of us who've traveled to Israel a few times, you pick up some more of the numbers that the prophet shared with us. That would need another 1 hour service. But let me take 18. Why does he appear in Genesis 18? Because there's a barren Sarah.
Hallelujah.
There's a barren church.
Amen.
Right? If you know God's numbers, 18 is life.
Hallelujah.
28 is time of life.
Amen.
So he appears in Genesis 18 because Sarah's womb needs help.
Hallelujah.
The entire body of Abraham and Sarah needs help.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Chai is 18. Life. That's why when a Jew wishes you good health and life, they say, L'chaim.
Amen.
From Chai. But 19, listen carefully. Number 40 is judgment, says Brother Branham. But 19 is associated with divine judgment as it leads to number 40. That is why Sodom burns in Genesis 19, following the life that comes to Sarah and Abraham. These numbers are beautiful. So do not confuse time of life and life. Chai is 18, time of life is 28. That's why the magazine that printed the 28-minute cloud was also time and life.
Amen.
God signaling to the bride in many ways that this is it. That is why when Brother Branham speaks of the book of Acts, he says the four beasts are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Is that right?
Amen.
But their life and manifestation is captured in the book of Acts. That's why it's not a mistake then that the book of Acts has 28 chapters.
Amen.
It's the life of God in the early church. Is that right? Oh, my. So, the 28th of February, 1963, was a short month. It ended quickly. Why? Because God promised to do a short, quick work. After we exhaust the 28th, we are going to enter into the debate of what is this? We were all happy with the cloud. From the time we heard of it, it's in our homes, it's in our churches. And now just before our bodies are to change, there seems to be an issue worldwide. Did you know that the New Testament has only 27 books? From Matthew to the book of Revelation is 27. Where's the 28th? It's you.
Amen.
Why? You eat the book in Revelation 10,
amen,
and then you become what you eat.
Amen.
So God has hidden the 28th book, but he signals it in the heavens. When the Lamb's Book of Life comes down in the form of the cloud, you eat the Lamb's Book of Life, the Word.
Amen.
You become the mysterious 28th book.
Amen.
That's why, Brother Branham, if you are not careful, teachers are getting confused between the takings of the book. There are two takings of the book. There's the taking of the book from the hand of him that sits on the throne. Then there's another taking of the book when the angel passes it on to Revelation 10:7. Then you eat that book, then there comes a third taking of the book when he raptures you. In Christ the mystery, Brother Branham says, now he is coming to take this book. He's talking of you.
Amen.
28 is very important, brothers and sisters. Amen. That is why in 1963, the prophet preached a sermon, most startling sermon. You will find it on the message index. It's called Pardon. You know what he was doing? The high priest had to enter the plan of the tabernacle east, going west. The high priest had to meet the pillar of fire, the angels around the throne, in the west. Receive the message of God, come back to the east where the congregation is waiting, and declare to them God's will. If you look at the map of America, Jeffersonville is here. To the east, northeast. The prophet sees a vision that he must go west to the desert. It's the plan of the tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
He goes west. He enters into the angels, the holies of holies. He receives God's message.
Amen.
And the angel says clearly, go back east.
Amen.
It's the plan of the tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
And Brother Branham preaches the seals, what God said. When Brother Bevan caught what happened with the cloud in 63 toward the end, he preaches a message, pardon. Why? Because when the high priest has gone into the angels, into the pillar of fire, into the Shekinah glory, he comes out and he says to the congregation, pardoned.
Amen.
So when the pardon of 1965 came, he had already declared it in 63.
Amen.
He says, I already had the revelation of marriage and divorce. 63 already.
Amen.
64. He was just waiting how to handle it. Because in his own church, like in all our churches, we have these situations. Amen. My, that's why the 28th message of 1964 in the sequence, the 28th message of 1964 is called influence. If this cloud, photographed on the 28th of February, has no influence in your life, go back again and revisit the cloud. You must have missed something. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if in 1965, the 28th message was, what is the attraction on the mountain? Can't you see what's happening?
Amen.
In 65, he's taking them back to 63. He's saying, what happened on that day? My 28th message in 1965, what is the attraction on the mountain?
Amen.
Do you want to tell me that a man as illuminated as, there's an English word that is not in the dictionary, a man as revelated as Brother Branham would not know in 63, 64, and 65 that there was something wrong with the dates? I tell you, there is a bold crowd that has arisen in the message. Foolishly bold. They try to walk where angels fear to tread. Amen. So, my brothers and sisters, you can do that when you have time. You will see these 28s everywhere. Amen. And do you know in 2013, this year, the 28th of February fell on a Thursday. I wrote it down there because we preached on that day. Now, as we close the curtain on the 28th, we are now going to go to the events that are in question. And if I may play a lawyer, I'd like to defend my client, William Marion Branham.
Amen.
I'm going to prove by the statements of my client that, number one, he spoke of an event that truly happened.
Amen.
Number two, that my client was present when the event happened.
Hallelujah.
That number three, my client is of sane mind. He does not hallucinate.
Amen.
My client does not imagine things.
Amen.
Then I'm going to prove that he had witnesses,
yes, sir,
of similar conviction who do not hallucinate, who were present when it happened.
Hallelujah.
However, as I close the chapter of 28, please turn with me, if you can show it on the screen here, I'll be happy. Revelation 22, 20 and 21. We started all the way from the beginning of the Bible. Now we are coming to the end of the Bible. You are the jury.
Amen.
And I have stated my case that number 28 is an important number in the plan of redemption. Now as I close the 28 number, issue of 28, let's close with Revelation 22, 20. It says, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen, even so, Lord Jesus, come." Is that right?
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now watch this scripture. Amen. Just watch that 22, 20 again. Watch. 22:20 ends with an amen. It says, He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, John adds, even so, Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, if you count he, one, which, two, testifies, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You keep counting, brothers and sisters, you'll be surprised that by the time you come to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, it's 28 words.
Amen.
Our God chooses to give you an ending, a kind of salutation, but at the end.
Amen.
Comprised of 28 words.
Amen.
God is highlighting. Don't miss when I deal with the 28.
Amen.
That's our part one. Now we are going to shift over, gentlemen of the jury, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
I'd like to take your mind back to our opening scripture in Exodus. You have noticed, if you have not missed it, that God calls Moses to the mountain. Then we showed you that some days elapse, because it says, and on the third day, after he said, come meet me in the mountain. Then it says, on the third day, he says, now I'm coming down. I'm going to make a public show, Moses. This public show that I'm making is actually to vindicate you, Moses. And I want the people to believe you, Moses, forever. This is very strange language.
That's right.
The God who says, I share my glory with no man, amazes us when it comes to such matters. He says to Moses, I want them to believe you. He comes to Brother Branham, he says, now, if you can get the people to believe you, you'd have expected him to say, get the people to believe me. It's got to run the gamut of scripture.
Hallelujah.
If he says, believe Moses, because God knows if you believe Moses, you believe him. Because he's the one veiled behind Moses.
Amen.
If you believe Brother Branham, you're believing in Christ, not that Brother Branham is Christ.
Yes,
he was the veil. There is a statement I have come to make over the years. It has helped. Because we have to deal with people who see Brother Benham as God and others see him not as God because he's not God. Yes. He's a vessel of God.
Yes.
So here's a statement. Brother Benham veiled God. He was not God veiled.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Yes. It's very thin, but if you think on it, you will see why he said the line is very thin between the Son of Man and a Son of Man.
Amen.
And he says, can you get it separated? So he was a veil, his body veiled God, but the man himself was not God veiled.
Yes.
I mean, he was not God made flesh or God veiled. He veiled God. Now please notice this. We are going to have an interplay of 28 and 8. We've done the 28 already. Give me another 15. We are doing very well time-wise.
Amen.
We are going to show you 8. You know why? Because later I must prove to you the sequence of events leading to the prophet being taken into the cloud. First, I establish from the scriptures, which cannot be altered nor broken, that God was already on Mount Sinai. Go read Exodus 19. He spoke several times to Moses. Are you listening? But he says, Moses, now I must make a public declaration, which the eye will see. But he had already been communicating with Moses. Did we read that?
Amen.
Gentlemen of the jury.
Amen.
Ladies of the jury. Amen. We started with the scripture. Exodus 19. They come to Mount Sinai, which Brother Benham likens to Mount Sunset in Unveiling of God, page 43.
Amen.
He says, Moses led them to the mountain and the commandments were given. He goes, the seals. He knew what he was doing.
That's right.
So, the Sinai of the Old Testament is our sunset of the new.
Amen.
The events are similar.
Yes, sir.
If you see the events first in the scripture, you'll have no problem with 28th of February hunting, because my client is being accused of having hunted out of season. And I must prove to you that he did not hunt out of season.
Yes,
he met with God, but the season began 1st of March to the 10th of March. So there was no hunting happening on the 28th. You say, but on the tapes he sounds like, I'm here saying, listen to my client again. But allow me to quickly take you through the scriptures where God emphasizes the number 8. If you read Genesis 17:12, God clearly says, when a child is born, admit him into the covenant of Abram on the 8th day by circumcision. Is that right? Listen to my choice of words. Admit him. Allow him into. Take him into. But let it be on the 8th day. In Leviticus 9 verse 1, Moses calls Aaron and his sons and he sees them on the 8th day. There it is. And it came to pass on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, etc., etc. Why did he have to wait 8 days? You will see. In Leviticus 14, when a leper was investigated, checked, inspected, there was a 7-day period. And when the 7 days ended, then he must reappear before the priest on the 8th day. He must be checked whether he should be readmitted
Amen.
Into the community.
Amen.
But my brother, you've got to give me Exodus 22:30. This one, you can't miss. If you have been listening to the prophet preaching Feast of the Trumpets, preaching recognizing your day and its message, preaching it as the rising of the sun, you hear him talk about the first sheaf that comes to maturity must be waved before the Lord.
Yep.
It was him.
Yes.
We are a field of believers,
yes,
in the end time. But the one that came to maturity ahead of us all was William Branham.
Yes.
So God pulled him up in 1963, inspected him because he comes from this field, and if he's happy with his maturity, the rest of us will follow.
Amen.
That's why Exodus 22:30 says, likewise shall thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it to me.
Amen.
Bring it into me. Let me admit it. Now the same thing with this, the same thing with that, the same thing with the sheaves. It must be admitted after you are sure it's matured. On the eighth day, bring it to God. You're going to see something. Same thing with Leviticus 22:27, if my brother can give it to us. And then we'll go into the events that happened around the cloud. And when we say amen, I trust God it'll be a true amen.
Amen.
In Leviticus 22:27, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, the mother, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted, admitted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You can't miss it now. The door is open.
That's right.
Those eights are beginning to open. Even when God is looking for the first king from the tribe of Judah, not Saul from Benjamin. The same thing is reenacted. The prophet comes before the sons of Jesse. One, no, two, no, three, four, high corner. I spoke South African now. And five, and six, and seven, and God says, the prophet says, isn't there yet one more?
Amen.
And that eighth one,
amen,
was the one admitted as king.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Josiah, 8 years old, make him a king. But he's too young. God says, there is something I'm doing here. Amen.
Amen.
Even in 2 Chronicles 29, you'll read it. I'm trying to get to my last argument. 2 Chronicles 29, when they were cleaning the house of the Lord, the Bible says they cleaned it in stages and degrees. From the first day, when they came to the eighth day cleaning it, they were right at the porch. Listen, they were right. Maybe we should read it. 2 Chronicles 21:16. We have to read this. Because you are going to understand when Brother Branham is taken into the cloud. The cloud is already there. God has already come down. We showed it in Exodus. Amen. Moreover, that's 29:16. This is 21. Give me 2 Chronicles 29:16. There it is. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad in the book Kidron. Verse 17. My brother, you've been with me to Israel, Brother George. Kidron, you know where that is. When we stand on the Mount of Olives, there's that sealed gate. Through that gate, the sealed one, is where they swept out the dirt into that Kidron Valley. Now verse 70. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. Can you see that progress? By the eighth day, they are right at the door. Keep that in mind now. It'll be very important when we take the sequence of events regarding where my client was from the time the cloud came down, fulfilling scripture, the cloud comes down, Moses, do this, do that, come up here, and then Moses, down a few more days, I will then make it public. So, we're about a second away from the main argument. Let us begin. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, America is a country made of many states. And these states have different laws regarding speed, death sentence. Others believe in the electric chair, others don't. Some states believe in gay marriage and lesbians, others don't. I'm making a point here. So it is with their hunting laws. They don't have one universal law for all of America. Study carefully. My client tells you in many tapes that when he hunts in Kentucky, and when he hunts in Indiana, and when he hunts in Arizona, there are different laws to be obeyed. At one time, my client shot and killed an animal in another state, and he carried it into his car to cross into another state. And then he was made aware that according to the state that he was coming into, that animal could not be allowed. My client was so obedient to the laws of men that he drove all night back to take the dead animal to the authorities.
Amen.
I therefore stand firm that if my client can do a thing like this, he will not violate the dates of hunting. My client knew very well that the hogs they were going to hunt them in the state of Arizona. And my client says it tape after tape that he knew the laws of Arizona were from 1st of March to the 10th. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. 1st of March is the next day after 28th of February. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen of the jury, brothers and sisters, please give me your last stamina. My client knew very well, after the angels came down the next day, the hunting season begins. Now let us go to the whereabouts of my client. You see, on the 23rd of February, 5 days before the angels are photographed, my client is preaching a message called Door in Door. Then on the 4th of March, 4 days after the angels have already been photographed, my client leaves a church with his son where he received a message that he must drive all the way to a place called Houston, Texas. Gentlemen of the jury, his own son, Billy Paul, was with him in the car on the 3rd as they were driving, so that by the 4th, the morning, they appear at a courthouse where the prophet's critic called Mr. Ayers, his stepson and girlfriend were given the death penalty, electric chair. Let us go back a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, gentlemen of the jury. Who is Mr. Ayers? In 1950, when Reverend Best challenged my client, calling him a false prophet, saying the days of miracles are past, it's all over the papers. that my client, when he stood in the pulpit to defend, there was a photographer called Ted Kipperman and a journalist called Mr. Ayers. One took the pictures, the other wrote the article. The one who took the pictures, Mr. Kipperman, had a shock of his life when he developed 7 frames and the 6 were blank and the 7th one had that pillar of cloud over there. However, Mr. Ayers, who had been writing the articles during that debate, spared no bad word against my client, calling him all sorts of names. However, in 1963, that's about 13 years later, ladies and gentlemen, this journalist's son committed a murder with a girlfriend. They were arrested and they faced the electric chair. It is Mr. Ayers, the critic, who tried everything in his power to save his stepson and failed. And he knew that his last chance was with the man he had called a devil. No wonder the prophet says, I've been called anything from a devil to Jesus Christ. The very man who had called him a devil called him up. So my client, on the 3rd of March, drives down with his son. The next morning they are in the courthouse. My client pleads for the life of the boy and the girl. The judge, based on the integrity of my client, spared their lives. That evening of the 4th, my client preaches a message called the Absolute. My client mentions no angels yet. On the 4th of the 3rd, 1963, the hunting season is already 4 days old. In this tape, you hear my client saying, we drove practically all Sunday night to be here Monday morning to defend the boy. It's now evening, I'm preaching a sermon. I've got to drive back all night to join with my hunting party. And he did, ladies and gentlemen. He drove back all night of the 4th. Then the 5th, the morning, he's in Arizona, Tucson. Packs his hunting gear. And 6 days into the hunting season, he joins up with his friends. Fred Sothman and Gene Norman. On the 7th, ladies and gentlemen, my client knew that the state laws of Arizona are 3 pigs per person. My client was a good shot. And he shot his tally of 3. He says it everywhere in the tapes. This is the 7th, Thursday, March the 7th. Now on the Friday, it's the 8th. My client could have packed up his bags and come home, but his 2 friends hadn't shot anything. So he stayed on knowing this is the 8th, there's the 9th, and the 10th, and the hunting season in that state is over. My client did not hunt out of season.
Amen.
He stays on the 8th. Are you listening? To help the 2 brothers to shoot their tally of 3 each. My client describes everywhere that on the 8th in the morning, he spotted some javelina hogs. And he was chasing them in such a way that they must run into where his friends are shooting. My client clearly says, on that day, at about 8 o'clock in the morning, Exodus 19:16, Moses was taken into the cloud. We read it the morning. Amen. He says he sat down and he looked at his trouser leg and he saw cockleburrs. He says at the back of his mind, distantly, he said, there's something about it And as his mind was filtering, he reached to remove the cockle burr, and there was a loud blast. You must listen carefully. The angels that had already come made a public testimony.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
The angels that already come were photographed. We have it over. Now they make a public testimony. It sounds a little confusing sometimes. It's like it's two events, but it's one and the same sequence. He says the brothers were so frightened, he says it in one tape, they stopped their hunting. They decided then to pack up the gear and leave the place because something supernatural had happened. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have been listening carefully to 28 and 8, according to my client's statements, the same angels that had come down are the same angels that make the blast. They are the same angels that take him into themselves on the 8th of March. That number 8 is being admitted into the cloud. These dates are not only corroborated by witnesses, they are corroborated even by those who packed his hunting gear. His own son that says, yes, we drove back. Billy Paul, however, when they left Houston, Texas, and the prophet went to get his gear in Tucson, Billy Paul drove to Jeffersonville. That's why he's not among the witnesses of the hunting party. But he is a witness of having driven down to Houston, rather, having left a hunting party that already went ahead. And these witnesses, Gene Norman, Fred Sothman, witnessed that indeed this is what happened. I do not know where my client's detractors come from trying to say, number one, he was hunting out of season. Oh no, he was hunting in season according to the law of that state. Do not confuse the laws of other states with the laws of this state. On the 4th of March, my client is preaching. He clearly says, I must rush back and join my hunting party. He joins them on the 6th. He shoots his telly on the 7th. He's taken into the cloud on the 8th. It's a sequence of events. Now, I'm going to read you two quotes before we close, ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen of the jury, to prove to you that when a prophet speaks of supernatural events, and you are trying to analyze him like a scientist, you are trying to be punctilious. No. Watch him speak now, and as I summarize the argument, allow me to challenge your knowledge. When did the sword of the Lord fall into the prophet's hand? January. Where did my client say the sword came from? He says, the angels of the Lord put it in my hand. You must listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. January already, middle of January, Sabina Canyon, part of the Sunset Mountain Range. The angels were already there.
Amen.
They put a sword in his hand.
That's right.
God spoke to him. This is the third pull, like he spoke to Moses aside. Already he was there. So by the time February and March comes, is to make a public statement. But the angels were there already. Let me prove it to you. In volume 2, number 6, the Easter Seal, 1965, page 35, my client says before we close, Life magazine published it. Fred Sothman and Gene Norman were standing right there. Seven angels appeared on a hill. Are you listening? Seven angels threw a sword in my hand. Wait a minute. If you are technical, you are going to lose him. He speaks like when Fred Sothman and Gene Norman were there, that's when the sword fell in his hand. But you know that the sword fell in his hand, he was alone with God.
Amen.
Can you see how prophets speak?
That's right.
I'll read it again. He says, Life magazine packed it, means published it. Fred Sothman and Gene Norman stood right there. Seven angels appeared on the hill. Seven angels throwed a sword in a hand and said, go home and open the seven seals. He's combining the sword and what the angel said in the cloud as one event. Yet there are days in between. Are you with me? God bless your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Here's another quote now. In volume 7, number 5, Pastor, get ready to come. In volume 7, number 5, Wings of a Snow White Dove, page 26 and 27. The prophet says in 1965, November, I was looking toward Catalina Mountains, where the angel of the Lord put a sword in my hand. Can you see what he's doing? He's not saying Sabino Canyon. He's saying Catalina Mountains. To the prophet, whether it was a sword in his hand in January, or it is the angels being photographed, or him being taken into the angels, it was one and the same thing. Of course, it's one and the same God.
Hallelujah.
Why are we trying to split it into frames? Because the devil's tactic is to divide and conquer. Amen. Now, in case, as we close, somebody might say, okay, you people that are followers of William Branham, obviously, you will believe everything he says. You are his followers. You are bewitched. That's what they might say. But I stand here saying, the very reporter... The very reporter of the magazine about the cloud now believes this message. Do you think that man is confused about the dates? No. He reported it. Where do I get this from? Brother Peregrine's Acts of the Prophet, page 106. The very reporter who reported these things now believes that that was a supernatural coming. That was God. And here we are, we were not even 1 mile in the presence of what happened. We live hundreds and thousands of miles away and we want to debate. We want to say a prophet made a mistake here or a prophet made a mistake there. Who are we? When 85 photos were taken, 8 and 5 is 13. It's America. 35 locations, 3 and 5 is 8. It's still in those numbers. I close in a minute. So here is my final analysis. We do not deny the 28th of February. Something happened. We do not deny that 8 days after the angels came down, the angels took him up. We do not deny that the sword and the angels and the angel is one event in a sequence of time. It's because we understand the interplay between 28 and 8. We understand that it's a period of events which the prophet summarizes as one. Where are we now? We are in that rapturing faith. Now I'm going to close with a time bomb. My last scripture is Exodus 19:1. Exodus 19:1. Watch how it is hidden. The cloud... Moses, going into the cloud, God speaking, thunderings, shaking of the earth. Watch how it says, what month is it? In the third month. Why do you think God gives you that key? It's because the one event happens at the end of the second month, 28th February, and then the next day the third month begins. And Moses is called up to the mountain. Moses is invited into the cloud. There is no confusion in my client's statements, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Believe the prophet and you shall prosper. Amen.
Going to try to add anything there, saints. It's just wonderful stuff. Amen. Like I say, if you don't understand that yet, just file it away in things to be used down the way.
Amen.
Because when the critics come, it's good to know that you're standing on a solid foundation.
Amen.
We saw it on Wednesday. To those who weren't here on Wednesday, we watched a DVD of Brother Biskel giving his testimony concerning the brown bear prophecy, which is another one which the critics want to say this and that. And we just saw a masterpiece on Wednesday because Brother Biskel was there as an eyewitness.
Amen.
And he just unveiled the whole thing.
Amen.
And that is why it is so important, friends, to maintain the right attitude. Always keep a teachable spirit.
Amen.
Even when something comes and you don't understand it at first, just wait. Wait upon the Lord. Don't be too quick to react and say this, that, and the other. Just give the Lord an opportunity to come and unveil things in his due season. And friends, in every single one of these things, there's a perfect explanation. A scriptural explanation, things fitting together according to a prophetic timetable. But sometimes the prophet, like we know it, we've seen it, the prophet sometimes bundles the events in one. But when you really take it together and you piece it together, it's perfectly in harmony with the parallel events in history. Because it's the same God sending a prophet for a similar purpose, an Exodus purpose. So things are going to line up exactly the same way.
Amen.
And I think on Wednesday and today, it's a tremendous defense that it doesn't really matter what comes down the way. When Job critic wants to say this, in the Bible some people say, but when they went to the tomb, sometimes it says there's one angel, sometimes it says there were two. That's why that God does his things. Some
That's
people
right.
saw one angel and some saw the other one. They just let the things unfold themselves.
Amen.
But like Brother George was saying, that if you want to get technical, and we want to look at things with a critical spirit, you can take the Bible and you can find things in there that are going to stumble people.
That's right.
That's the way that God has written his word.
Amen.
Because he wants us to approach his word with humility.
Right.
And you approach it in humility and look up at it the right way, you're going to see Christ in everything. You're going to see grace. You're going to see redemption. You're going to see yourself in the scriptures. But if you want to look down on the things and try to criticize and come in that kind of a way, you get yourself in a lot of trouble with God. So we really do appreciate, like I said, that God has put gifts in the body.
That's right.
And they come in due season and they come and unveil the things.
Amen.
And to those that have been humble and just waiting to say, but Lord, how did these things fit together? The Lord just comes and pieces them together.
Amen.
And on Wednesday, as I said, God had his witness. Brother Biskel was there and the Lord's allowed Brother Biskel to live to a good ripe age. So that when these things came up in this day, there was Brother Biskel saying, brothers, I feel sorry for these brothers. They're tampering with the vision. They're stepping on holy ground. They don't understand what they're doing.
Amen.
And then Brother Biskel comes and places it perfectly in line and shows the quotes of what the prophet says. And there's no contradiction in anything.
Amen.
Everything just fits the way that God says that it would do.
Amen.
You know, so I'd really say that just today and Wednesday, to me, that's been tremendous.
Amen.
Just the way the Lord comes and brings that armor and says, don't worry about anything. I've got everything under control.
Hallelujah.
And I think anyone who's been in this message for any length of time, the deeper you go in this message, the more confidence
That's
that you have.
Right.
It is so scriptural. It fits every shadow. It fits every type.
Amen.
And when you see these people trying to tamper with these things, you say, these people are going to get themselves in awful trouble with God. Because these are sacred things. Moses was taught, take off your shoes before you approach these things.
Right.
And I think, friends, let's keep our shoes off. Let's keep walking in humility. Let's keep walking in simplicity and everything else that God has for us. Things that you may not understand. Just give it time. God is still in the business of unraveling the knotty problems as he was in the days of Daniel. As he was in the days of Joseph. He's still in the business of laying everything clear. So we really do appreciate the word this evening.
Amen.
Maybe we could stand and ask Brother George if he could come. Let's sing that song. The original life. Amen. The original seed. The original word, that's what we believe. Friends, I'm never going to change this message. I'm never going to add my thoughts, put this, that, and the other. Let's just leave it the way that it is. That's all that God wants us to do. Let's walk humbly before Him and let Him just continue to unfold His will.
The original life.
The original seed. The original word. What I believe, the Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original seed, God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have got the revelation of the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are is up for. Praise the Lord for the original life, the original life. Oh, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe, the Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled.
The original life.
Oh, the original seed. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say, and our names are seen with Thee. Redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life.
The original life.
Oh, the original seed. The original seed.
The original word.
Oh, it's what I believe. The Son of Man, the seventh seal, the original life,
the original seal.
Our eyes of understanding He has opened up at last. That sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. Should you believe? Has sounded, and we have responded to our God.
Who's the original life?
The original
life.
Whoa, the original, the original seed.
The original world.
Oh, is what I believe.
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man.
The seventh
seal, the original life,
the original
seal. We are called unto adoption, full of authority and power. Seeking saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days will soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original life,
the original life.
Oh, the original, the original seed,
the original word.
It's what I believe, the Son of Man, the seventh seed.
Let's sing one more song, saints. Let's sing that song. Coming from the east, coming from the west. What are we gathered by? We gathered by the shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. That's why the devil attacks these things, friends. They're foundational principles of the message. They're these milestones and these important points along the way. Like the prophet says, he attacks Genesis and Revelation. You know, he attacks those foundational things and the things that show you things that are to be. He's still in the same business, but I'm so glad that Christ is still in the same business. He's still defending the faith. He's still fortifying his people. We do appreciate that.
Coming from the east,
coming from the west,
coming from the north and from the south.
Oh, the rainbow child, gathered by a shout,
for adoption on the summertime is ever free.
We run Mount Zion in that secret place,
by the sovereign grace
of our Lord.
A city on a hill
whose glory can be hid.
We'll build the first, that great and final rule.
Coming from the east,
coming from the west,
coming from the north and from the south.
Oh, the rainbow child, gathered by a shout,
for adoption on the summit of the seventh
peak. We have seen the Lord
in the fulfillment of his word.
He prophesied the prophet to return,
to ride this trail again, to reveal his new name,
to teach the bride to prophesy again.
Oh, coming from the east,
coming from the west,
coming from the north and from the south.
Oh, the rainbow child,
gathered by the shout,
for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak.
A rainbow covenanted one
in the Joshua Commission.
She testifies she's turned at the waist
with the authority
for her ministry,
and she shall speak from the summit of the seventh peak.
Oh, coming from the east,
coming from the west,
coming from the north and from the south.
Oh, the rainbow child,
gathered by the shout,
for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak.
We sing a brand new song,
we are the blood washed on.
We've seen our names beneath that seventh seal.
He opened up to us
all her mysteries,
and there is light on the summit of the seventh peak.
Oh, coming from the east,
coming from the west,
coming from the north and from the south.
Oh, the rainbow child,
gathered by a shout,
for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak.
All things are ready now,
Father, let the fire fall.
Father, glorify thy name.
You did it once before in the life of Malachi 4.
Now, Father, glorify thy name again.
Oh, coming from the east,
coming from the west,
coming from the north and from the south.
Oh, the rainbow child,
gathered by a shout,
for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak.
Let's bow our heads as we close, saints. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this night that you've given unto us, Lord. We do thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, even as David said in the Psalms, when we consider your thoughts towards us, Father, they are too wonderful. They're too great to be numbered up. Father, this world may think this and that about us, Lord. Father, religious people may think this and that about us.
Hallelujah.
Father, but the only thing that counts is what you think about us.
Amen.
And Father, what you think about it is manifest by the things that you do for us. Father, by your concern and your care and your love. Father, by your tenderness, Lord, in keeping us. Father, because surely Jesus is in this boat.
Amen.
And Father, we'll crest every wave that shall come. As long as you're there. And sometimes, Lord, we need to call you on the sea. But thank you, Jesus, that you are in the vessel.
Amen.
And we just want to take ourselves as individuals upon this evening and just give our vessels to you.
Amen.
And say, Jesus, you've navigated. Everyone has put their trust in you safely to the haven of rest. And Jesus, we just give it all into your hands upon
Amen.
This day. You know our needs at this time as people. Father, we just want to bring them up unto thee. Manifest yourself for your glory.
Amen.
Reveal your attributes, Lord. Father, we thank you for the healings from last Sunday. We thank you for the testimonies that have come forth. We thank you for the good things that you did.
Amen.
And now, Father, there's another type of healing even upon this night. Father, to heal certain questions. Father, Lord, just to unseal certain things that, Father, you desire to unseal. Father, to them that haven't understood, Father, to all of us who would desire, Father, that these things, Lord, we'd appropriate them as part of our spiritual armor.
Amen.
May, Lord, you help us to meditate upon these things in the days to come.
Yes.
And, Father, bring them back and use them, Lord, in due season.
Yes.
Quicken them by your Spirit and use them, Father, we'd pray for your glory.
Amen.
May you bless Brother George this night. Father, as he had rest, I pray that you'd minister unto him. Minister
Amen.
Good rest to him, Lord. Speak unto him in night visions, I'd ask and I'd pray. Bring it back in the new day. That he may bring forth and break unto us once again the bread of life.
Amen.
Bless his wife. Bless his family.
Yes.
Bless his congregation back home. We do dedicate them to thee upon this day.
Amen.
And Father, in the services that lay before us tomorrow.
Yes.
Both here by your grace, if you'd allow us to see another day.
Amen.
And Father, as we'd go up to Brother Tom's, I ask and pray. You be glorified in the ministration of your word is our desire.
Amen.
Now grant us traveling mercies, we'd pray. Give us, Father, traveling mercies that you may get safely home. Give us good rest this day. Bring us back tomorrow in the freshness of things, Lord.
Amen.
To come and sit in the quietness of things that you may prepare us, Lord. That, Father, you may minister your blessing unto us once again.
Amen.
Jesus will give to you all the praise and the honor and the glory.
Amen.
Be with us now. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, let's sing one more song. God bless you. Meet you tomorrow by the grace of God.
Hallelujah,
He's an answering God.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Oh,
when I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Oh,
hallelujah, He's an answering God.
He answers always
when I pray
in Jesus' name,
and by faith
the answer came.